What's up, everyone? This is the Block Report Podcast, and you're with Tafar IXL, aka TDK the Magnificent. And yes, it's been a while since we've posted and put up new episodes, and there's been a whole lot that has been that has happened and has gone on. In particular, the election has happened. We spoke about it in our particular last episode with the Pfizer vaccine and what Joe Biden, President-elect Joe Biden, has stated is his plans for his first 100 days. And since that time, there has been two other vaccines that have come out and one of them in particular, which is seeking EUA, which is emergency use acceptance from the FDA, and they're filing an EUA emergency use application to get their vaccine out there on the world stage and out there available to people. And that's Pfizer and Moderna. Moderna, who has previously never had any vaccine before or even any sort of pharmaceutical medicinal product out on the market before, this is their first shot, their first one. And from the time that they announced, which was about a week ago, the Monday before that, they announced that they had 95 percentile positive effects with their vaccine, their stock has skyrocketed. And their stock price has skyrocketed and it's gone. It went from hovering around $70 to about almost $180 as of today's date, until it started tumbling and going below 140. And I'm sure we'll see some more volatility around that stock, considering that that was just an astronomical jump for something that hadn't proved any revenue or hadn't even been put out there yet. So if you're out there and you're playing the market, be careful. Of course, you can find the Block Reports. You can email us at theblockreportpodcast@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Instagram at the Block Report Podcast. Instagram.com/ The Block Report Podcast. Or at The Block Report Podcast. There is a lot going on. And we're going to try to get in touch into a couple of topics. There are other media outlets and other personalities out there that are covering a lot of other situations. And because of that, one has to tend to find information that it might not be out there readily on the front page that people may be paying attention to. Although there are things that there are important things out there to be paying attention to, especially with this vaccine situation, the recent election situation, and a lot and all that is going on with that entailed. And we will address some of those, some parts of those issues and things as well in this podcast from time to time. However, it is the Block Report podcast, so therefore we must address things that happen not just in the news or in the political stream, but on all aspects. You can find the podcast on all of your favorite all of your favorite streaming networks, Spotify, Apple, so on and so forth. And of course, we're broadcasting it live and loading up live and directly from anchor.fm. So shout out to them. What we're going to go into here is I'm going to play a piece here. Apparently, there was a deal launched with Under Armour and Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors, the NBA basketball player, NBA champion. I believe Steph is an all-star and all of that. And, you know, at one time was one of the top. I'm sure he's still considered one of the top tier players in the league. But at one time he was that guy. He was that guy, even during the time of LeBron James. So, there was a deal launched with him and Under Armour, which he had a deal already, was working with Under Armour, but now Under Armour is claiming that they're launching a Steph Curry's Curry brand. Now, this brand is, and let me say that again for you, the Steph Curry's Curry brand, just in case you thought I was, you didn't hear me correctly. And this brand apparently is a way for them to have an updated version of a sort of a Michael Jordan, for the Generation Z or Generation XZ, I don't know, whichever generation that they're calling it now, that's coming up. So for those young people under the age of like a Steph Curry type, and so on and so forth. So to kind of brand Steph Curry as that kind of world athlete figure, that an icon that Michael Jordan was in his time. And so that's really what it's all about. But I will play a short clip, a video of the CEO talking about it, and I will go into any further substantive detail on the subject from there as I see fit. So this is the clip of the CEO, who was on CNBC earlier today speaking about the launch of Curry brand. Let me get this queued up and get everything in play. All right, bear with me one moment, guys, while we get this going. And I watched the interview personally myself, and there were a couple of things that were said during the interview that intrigued me, which gave me the impetus, an idea of doing this podcast with this as being on the topics of things to be discussed. So let's get it rolling. I think we have it ready, and here we go.
Star Steph Curry announcing the launch of the Curry brand. In addition to being a footwear and apparel line, Curry brand is also working to provide opportunities for youth sports in under-resourced communities. This launch comes 7 years after Under Armour first signed Curry back in 2013. The stock is down 20% since that time. Under Armour CEO Patrick Crisp joins us now for first on CNBC interview to talk about the Curry brand. Welcome back, Patrick. Good to see you.
Okay. Let me just interject here real quick. Under Armour as a stock has been suffering on the market. There are other stocks that have been suffering as well. If you've been paying any attention to the stock market and the news as far as what's going on Wall Street and what some of these big companies and mega giant companies are doing and how well they're doing, while some of these small businesses are going through hell, then you would know. It's likely that you would know that Under Armour at one point during this year, especially at the height of when COVID had just started, they were looking like they might go out of business. And their stock was in like the single digits, I believe. Close to like, I know it was around $11 at one point. I mean, and I'm pretty sure it went lower than that, but I didn't really pay attention. And not just them, they weren't the only one. You had stocks like Macy's and Bed Bath & Beyond. You had a bunch of stocks that found themselves in the single digit range, which a lot of people claim that the traders or people who basically jumped into the market since COVID, since this March or when the market crashed, especially the ones that joined on Robinhood, had basically been big fans of some of those stocks that had gotten so crushed and brought down to the single digit numbers. So, however, I did not hear of Under Armour being such a big time favorite, but their stock was getting crushed as well. So, all right, now, and that's why I say it's even more curious, just for me, just as a side note, it's just curious that, hey, they want to do this push and this brand with Steph Curry. Now, when their brand is possibly, you know, is facing so much difficulty, you know, they're not, you know, as far as how the stock is doing, it's not producing for their shareholders. And I'm sure the company's having a hard time because they're not considered essential. And if you may have noticed, I don't know if anyone else has noticed, but although Under Armour is a bit more pricey, but Modell's has shut down a lot of its stores. So a lot of these sports apparel, sports retail type entities are really not, or just any other, or some of these consumer discretionary goods type of outlets are not doing so well. So let's hear the rest of this interview.
Thank you, Sarah. Great to be here.
So across categories, across sneakers, apparel, it sounds a lot like the Jordan brand. Is that the model here?
No, I think what we've tried to do here, and I think what Stefan and Under Armour are really excited about, is the fact that we're creating a brand for good here. And I think the big difference is it's not just about product, it's also about giving back, giving the consumer a chance to participate. And for Stefan to do something that he's been wanting to do for a long time, which is impact youth and participation in sport, which is also what I'm trying to do. So.
Okay, so you hear the CEO say that when first he tries to deflect and dodge the question when he's asked about, are you, sounds like you're trying to do something like the Jordan brand, and then he says no. Says no to start off, but then he says, oh, we're trying to do some good and then connect with the youth and this, that, and the third, and he's saying that this is something that Steph has wanted to do for a long time. But all of a sudden now you find time to do it. Now you're attempting to do it. Now, I'm not talking down. It may seem like I'm talking down. I'm not talking down on Steph Curry or this company or his deal. Like I'm trying to, I don't believe I have this sort of type of influence or, power to mess up a Steph Curry deal. But from what you hear, from what this CEO is saying, I mean, who could really trust this guy and what their intentions really are? He said that Steph Curry had been wanting to do this, especially something that would help the kids and youth and so on and so forth, but they never got to it. How long has Steph Curry been dealing with Under Armour? And how long has he been wanting to do that? So, this is something you have to listen to, splice between the words, because what he's really saying is, yeah, we heard him before, but now that we see that it's an opportunity, something that we could capitalize off of, yeah, now we're on board with it. But before, when it was just about doing a good thing just to do a good thing, No, we were not about it. That's essentially what he said. Let's play the rest of the interview.
About both brands combining their values and doing some good at the same time.
Sure, but you're also trying to grow Under Armour and, of course, look for new opportunities. Patrick, I guess my question is, why didn't you do this a few years ago when Curry was winning championships and MVP titles? You've had the...
Boom! 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 Correspondent, reporter, journalist, or, you know, TV personality on CNBC that asked him this question hit him with the bomb. Hit, because she was like, yeah, oh, that's good or whatever, but why you didn't do this before? Especially when he was winning championships and he had the whole world at his feet. The world was his oyster. Now, and your stock is in trouble, your company's in trouble. So it just seems like you're just doing this as a way you're trying to Frankenstein a moment of success in the sun by bringing back in Steph Curry and reeling him out there and talking about, yeah, we'll give you your brand now that we see we're on our face. You see this, guys? So this is the kind of thing. You have these Wall Street, these corporate exec types. And the thing is, sometimes, and he's supposed to be the CEO of the company, and he can't even get his story straight of how to talk and how to spin this. His spin, the way he's spinning it, it's like he thinks the people are stupid. I mean, it did not take this reporter, this woman, 2 seconds to slice his stuff up like a Ginsu knife. With a Ginsu knife. Chop, 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 chop. Let's hear what he had to say after this, guys.
Relationship for so long. Why now?
Well, I think it's a combination both of Under Armour, you know, maturing more as a brand together with Stefan. And, you know, Stefan has been wanting to do this. We started talking about this about 2 years ago or a little bit more than that. And it's been maturing. And I think this year especially, there's been more time for Stefan to dedicate a little bit of extra time to this effort. And as we've been working on it, it matured. And we felt that now was the perfect time, right before the season starts this year. And you know, this is something that we're building on for the future. There's a big commitment here from Under Armour and from Curry to really impact youth sports. You know, we're looking to impact about 100,000 kids until 2025, and you know, if you want to do that, you got to get going. And we believe that by starting in 2021 and putting a great program together that's not just about product, it's also about places and about people, it's about training coaches, it's about getting spaces for kids, and it's about putting programs together that can actually educate both the coaches and the kids. So it goes beyond just product and business.
What, Patrick, qualifies a sportsman or sport?
So basically, he did some weak double talk, double speak, and, you know, said some stuff like, well, now that there's more time, you know, now that Steph had more time on his hands, he's going to put him out there as he was the one who was holding this thing up. But the first thing he said was that the brand had began to mature more as, and then he added that Steph, he added whatever else was happening with Steph. So the first thing he said was what the truth was, partially the truth, which was that basically they didn't see things that way. They didn't see the vision that Steph was presenting or whatever, because I don't think Steph was saying it. I don't know, but I would think that I don't think, because when they add the part about how they're looking to serve underserved youth, which whatever that means, that's, you know, that's a, That's a coded, cloaked term. And I believe that me, if I was to, what I see it from is that basically they see that there's some sort of market, or they want to be in the market of this diversity thing and being on the right side of diversity ever since, like how a lot of these other corporations go. If you go back to my previous podcast where I talk about how corporate America's response to the civil unrest in America and the response that the people had towards systemic racism in the United States, especially after the murders of George Floyd this year and Breonna Taylor, and amongst others. So some of these execs and CEOs see some cachet in trading in, trying to use the, and throw all these terms around, like underserved kids and underserved communities and diversity and so on and so forth. So to me, when they start throwing these terms around and it's nothing really to it and nothing's happening, it's just like people going around saying, oh yeah, man, yo, oh man, Snoop Dogg, he's my favorite rapper ever. Okay, yeah, what does that mean? You know, you might like listening to Snoop Dogg. I guess, I don't know, am I supposed to be impressed by that? Anyway, let's listen to the rest of this interview. Here goes the other interviewer now, or the other host on the show, putting in his two cents, coming at the CEO as well of Under Armour as well.
Woman, from being someone who you want to be associated with as a brand via typical sponsorship, to being someone that you want part of the brand themselves, is it quality on their field of play? How many sports people around the world could reach that level?
I think there are very few that have the kind of appeal that Stefan has. And again, like Sarah said, Wilfred, you know, we've been with Stefan for a very long time, and what we've found over that time is that our values align so well together. And if you want to go out there and do something today, I think you've got to do something that is just beyond just the shirts and shoes business. And we feel that, as I said, by combining the purpose with the product, you know, impacting kids. And you know, one of the big problems that we see today is the fact that so few kids have access to sports. There's only about a 22% participation in low-income families today in sports. And you know, this whole COVID pandemic has certainly made that even more difficult. So we're trying to team up here with Stefan and do our part and change the game for good.
Okay, so that's where he ended it at, guys. That was basically what the CEO of Under Armour, Patrick Fisk, or Frisk was his name. Let me see. Okay, and they also spoke with the Adidas CEO. Yeah, his name is Patrick Frisk. They also spoke with the... One second, guys. Right, they also spoke with the Adidas CEO and about the Kanye, about some sort of Kanye merger and deal there. But that I'm not discussing on this particular podcast. We may discuss that at another time and get into that. I just want to get to you guys and chop it up with you about a few things that I saw that were quite interesting. In addition, President-elect Biden has named and naming elements of his cabinet. He has named all women for his White House communication team, led by Jen Psaki. Sorry, I can't pronounce that, as press secretary. He's also named former Fed governor, president, or head of the Fed, Janet Yellen, during the, let me see, what he was using, the Clinton or Obama administration, and maybe both, and as the Secretary of the Treasury. According to this article here from the New York Times, dated November 30th, 2020, President-elect Joe Biden named Jennifer to be his press secretary on Sunday. Mr. Biden twisted his ankle Saturday. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Just at his ankle. We're talking about who he named. Also, I saw... Hold on one second, guys. Let me try to get to this. This might not be the right article I clicked on. All right. Yeah, here it goes. So this article here is from The Guardian. And... all right, and this was, okay, I don't have any date on it, but okay. Official, it says, Joe Biden names diverse economic team with first female Secretary of Treasury. Official nominations came after President-elect announces all-female communications team and are likely to draw Republican opposition. Joe Biden announced his economic team on Monday, a slate of advisors which could include the first female Secretary of the Treasury, as the president-elect looks to revive the coronavirus-hit U.S. economy. The official nominations to a diverse proposed cabinet came after Biden named an all-female communications team. Republicans are likely to launch fierce opposition to at least one of the Democrats' economic picks. After a busy few days for Biden, who also managed to fracture his foot while playing with his dog, the former vice president was finally allowed access to daily presidential briefings on Monday. Donald Trump still refuses to concede the election. On Sunday, using his first television interview since Biden won the vote more than 3 weeks ago to reiterate his baseless claims that the election was stolen. Biden won 6 million more votes than Trump as he became the first presidential candidate ever to win the support of more than 80 million Americans. He won the Electoral College 306 to 232, the same score by which Trump beat Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. On Monday, Biden's wins in Arizona and Wisconsin were certified. Biden's nominee to lead the Treasury, Janet Yellen, was chair of the Federal Reserve under Barack Obama and has been confirmed by the Senate before. But Republicans are already... excuse me, guys. It split up for some reason. Yeah, Republicans are already gearing up to oppose Neera Tanden, Biden's nominee for the Office of Management and Budget. Tanden, the president of the Liberal Center for American Progress think tank, accused Senate Republicans of hypocrisy after they rushed the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court following the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Tanden has repeatedly criticized the right on Twitter. Okay, Neera Tanden, who has an endless stream of disparaging comments about the Republican senators whose vote she'll need, stands zero chance of being confirmed, a spokesman for the Texas Senator John Cornyn tweeted. On Monday, Biden received the presidential daily briefing, a classified document summarizing high-level information on national security issues and prepared by the Director of National Intelligence for the first time since he won the election. In 2018, the Washington Post reported that Trump did not read the daily briefs, preferring oral presentations. Biden is expected to study the written material. He would have received it sooner, but for the Trump administration delaying the transition process. Biden will be forced to consume the brief while nursing a broken foot after slipping while playing with his German Shepherd. Major, the president-elect's office said the 78-year-old fractured two bones in his right foot and will likely require a walking boot for several weeks. There was better health news for the U.S. as a whole on Monday, as the Health Secretary Alex Azar said the first two vaccines against the coronavirus could be administered to Americans before Christmas. There was a third one from AstraZeneca, but it said it only had 70% efficacy, and apparently it's running into some snags, so it looks like the two vaccines that they're gearing up and being ready to run with are from Pfizer and Moderna, as I spoke about to you guys earlier. Two vaccines are waiting to be evaluated for emergency use if they are approved. Azar said it will be up to state governors to decide who will receive the first doses. In addition, on that point, the decision to what it looks like the people that are going to be given the first doses of the vaccine, or that are being talked about to be given the first doses, are those that are in these longer-term care living centers, senior living home centers, and the first-line healthcare workers and people in the nursing home that work with these people as well. As Biden moves forward planning for the presidency, be thinking people in nursing homes, the most vulnerable, be thinking healthcare workers who are on the front lines of most interacting with suspected COVID cases as the first tranches of people that will try to get vaccinated, Azar told CPS. As Biden moves forward with planning for the presidency, Trump has become an increasingly lonely voice in maintaining the election was fraudulent. In an interview with Fox Business on Sunday, he continued to make baseless claims of election fraud, even though his legal team has lost case after case in its attempt to overturn the result. "My mind will not change in 6 months," Trump said. "There was tremendous cheating here." Trump also said he was going to use 125% of my energy to fight the results. Shortly after the interview, Wisconsin completed a recount the president had requested. Officials retallied the votes in the state's largest two counties, Milwaukee and Dane, where more than 800,000 votes were cast. They found little change in the results. In fact, Biden's lead grew by 87 votes. And further bad news for Trump, it emerged on Monday that the president had lost Twitter followers in recent weeks, while Biden has grown his own following. Everybody loves a winner. That's the other part. Trump knows this too, like, because he touts that stuff too, like, "Oh, you just want to deal with winners." Everybody jumps on the winning, who they see winning at that time. They're jumping to that side and they're rolling with that. And especially Trump didn't have friends. He didn't really have friends on either side of the aisle, Democrat or Republican. He didn't have any real friends. He just had people around him that he enjoyed kissing his butt. What else goes on? According to the tracking website Factbase, the number of accounts following Trump who has complained of bias treatment by Twitter dropped by 133,902 over 11 days, while Biden gained nearly 1.2 million. Trump still has one of the most followed Twitter accounts in the world with 88.8 million adherents, but he is some way behind his White House predecessor, Barack Obama, who has 126.8 million. By the way, Thanksgiving on Thursday, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and on this Tuesday, I've been noticing a few people talking about there's a Giving Tuesday. So what I would say to you is, not sure what this Giving Tuesday is about. I'm still reading up and getting it, but the thing is, I look at this like similar like Thanksgiving. I give thanks every day, not just when I'm told to give thanks or on a particular day of the year. I give thanks every day, every morning, and of every day. And I give without touting what I give and who I gave to. So, if you feel you have some charity in your heart and you want to give something, your time, your input, your experience, your skill, your money, then by all means, you're welcome to do that. Especially if you like to give it and offer it to a cause that you, or for a cause and to a cause that you believe in. And hopefully you'll find that the Block Report has been something that you've enjoyed and you find beneficial to you. And you will give and show your support by sharing this podcast with others and liking all the social media pages that the Block Report podcast has, where you find it on Twitter and Instagram. Also, you can reach out to us via email at theblockreportpodcast@gmail.com to share your gifts of things like comments, ideas you'd like to see the podcast implement, and so on and so forth. And so how we can build and we can grow from here. Well, we've reached the end of the podcast, and I'd like to give a great big thanks to all those that take the time to like and share any of the content and spread the word about the Block Report podcast. And until next time, and I'll try not to make it so long as last time, be you, do your best. Always, never give in, never give out, and never give up. Peace.